Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? Woo, there it is. My name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my joy to be able to bring the word this morning. So for those of you that don't know me, right now, this is just a part-time job as the pastor until January 1st, which at last count is 19 weeks or 133 days or 88 working days. But who's counting? But that's until I retire from being a police officer, because I'm a full-time police officer in Orange Beach. I'm a lieutenant. I've been there. I started policing in 1998. One of the things that I learned very early is that I'm not that smart, right? I was a B and C student in high school and did not like high school and just wanted to get out of school as fast as I could, right? Went to college, left college, moved to the beach because that's what you do. And I became a police officer. But when I became a police officer, I found something that clicked. It was something I loved. That was in 1998. I went to the police academy, and I graduated top of my class. I just understood it. And they put this book in front of me that has all these laws in it, and I got it. I could read that, and I could understand it, and I knew how to read the law and how to understand the letter of the law. It just made sense to me. I actually graduated with a 99.7, and the only reason I say that is because the reason I got a 0.7 is because I missed one question in all the tests I had. And when I went to argue with the instructor and say, no, this is what it says, I was right, he looked at me and said, go sit down and shut up, you made 99, right? But it irked me, right? But the reason I say that is because I'm at a point now in my career that I look at these young guys coming in, I look at these rookies coming in to police work, and I say, I was never that dumb, right? We do that when we get to a point in our career, we all reach that point where we look at the young people coming in and we say, man, I was never that bad. But to be honest, I think we all are when we first come into something. When we first come into something that we set our life to, or we say, this is who I'm going to be, we have a lot to learn. When I started as a rookie, I understood the law. I understood the letter of the law. I mean, most rookies come in and we're just excited to be able to go out and do our job that we understand well. That's why you get pulled over more, and that's why you write more tickets, you know. One of the things about the law is I don't care how good you think you are, the law book is about this thick, right? Title 32, which is your traffic laws, is about an inch thick. You cannot drive your car perfectly. There is always a reason that we can pull you over, because nobody can fulfill the law totally. You can argue, but we'll prove you wrong. I mean, that's because we're so focused on the letter of the law, and we're so enthralled in it, and we're so wrapped up in it that we miss the spirit of the law, because we get so focused on the letter of the law that we don't quite have the ability to grasp what the spirit of the law is until you've done it for a little while, until you've kind of gotten into it, until you've kind of been shown the way by some older guys that are a little bit smarter. But that kind of struck me when I was reading scripture this week. And I'm actually using a scripture that I used at my father-in-law's funeral. This is something he had written down, and when I read it, it just hit home with me, and it struck me as something that I have lived through as a police officer, because there is a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And in Romans 13, 8 through 11, that's what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Romans. So I'm going to read that, and then we'll talk about that. It says, don't run up debts, except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law code, you know, don't sleep with another person's spouse, don't take someone's life, don't take what isn't yours, don't always be wanting what you don't have, and any other don't you can think of finally adds up to this: love. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. This word is true, and it can be trusted. So what I think Paul is doing here is Paul is writing to the Romans, to the Christians in the Romans, because they're so caught up in the letter of the law. I think we all fall victim of that. I think as we become Christians and we go to Bible studies and we go to Sunday school and we're kids and we go to vacation Bible school or we go to, I grew up in a church in Abilene, Texas that had a basement and I can't remember what we called it, but we would go down there and we had this amazing teacher that would just teach us everything about the Bible and we would play games and have all these contests and Bible trivia stuff. And it was just, it was great, but it really focused on teaching us how to be a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, how we identify ourselves as a Christian. It really focuses on teaching us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. What it really focuses on is the law, right? Don't do this, don't do that, say this, don't say that, be this way, don't be that way. I mean, we hear that a lot as Christians. A lot of us, myself, we focus our lives on being the good person, right? That's because that's what the letter of the law teaches us to do. That's how we try to fulfill this calling to be good and to be the light in the world around us. Is we take this book and we say, okay, this is our law book, and we study it, and we try to live it out perfectly. But like I said, we can't even get out in the car and live out our drive perfectly according to Title 32 in Alabama. And we can't live our lives perfectly according to the law. If you want to test that, turn to Exodus and start in Exodus around 20, Exodus 20. That's the Ten Commandments. And then read some Leviticus or Deuteronomy and read all of the laws that Moses gave the Jewish people in order to be godly people. They had to follow all of these laws. And if you read the story of the Old Testament, they failed over and over and over and over and over again because it's tough. It's tough to live by the letter of the law. And I think that's the amazing part about the New Testament. Is because when we read the Old Testament, we read things that say, repent or else, right? Do this, be clean, do the right thing or else. I mean, that's the message we read in the Old Testament over and over and over again. But then we flip over to the New Testament and we meet Jesus, who shows up, and what he does is he starts to love the people around him, and he shows us how we can live a life that actually does fulfill the letter of the law. He's just not focused on the letter of the law. He's focused on the spirit of the law. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus shows us what the spirit of the law is, what the intent of the law is. And all of those laws that we learned about and read about and we hear about when we become Christians they're good. They're good. They're supposed to be guiding principles in our lives, but we're supposed to be able to look at Jesus and say, okay, so this is how we live into those laws. Because the intent of those laws is to teach us who God is and how God is and what God wants for us. He wants us to be able to live this life of love and grace and mercy, this love of coming together. And that's the intent of the law that was written However, when we get caught in the letter of the law, when we get caught in the letter of the law, what happens? Well, look around. What's happening today? When we get caught in the letter of the law, how many denominations do we have? I can't even think of them all. Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Holiness, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. We've got all of these denominations within the Christian faith, right? And why is that? It's because sometimes we get so focused on the letter of the law that we find ourselves holding up the law or this checklist, and we say, well, they meet this one and this one and this one and this one, and I like those four, so they meet up with my beliefs. But then we got these people over here that they focus more on these other laws, and I just don't agree with that. So I'm gonna distance them. I'm gonna separate myself from them. I'm gonna make sure that the world identifies me as different from them because they're focused on a different section of the law, and I just can't go there. I mean, that's one thing we like to do with the law, right? We like to pick and choose which laws fit us. But we're not looking at the big picture to say, why are the laws written to begin with? I mean, we have laws in our society to help us have a better society, to help us have a society that functions in peace. God gave us laws so that we would have guidelines so that we could live in a society of faith that comes together and builds the kingdom of God here and now. But we're people, so we like to pick and choose, and we focus on what we like and what we don't like, and we separate ourselves, and we push each other away, and we use the law to do that, to justify it, to say, I'm right, they're wrong, because I'm living by the right laws or the good laws, or I'm fulfilling more of the laws than they are. We like to measure ourselves. We like to say, well, I'm up here because I'm fulfilling much better than they are, and they're down here because they just don't care, or whatever it is. They think differently than us. They act differently than us. They look differently than us. They speak differently than us. They say different prayers than us. They let more things happen. Whatever the excuses are, when we're focused on the letter of the law, we use the law to divide us. We use the law to make excuses. We use the law to say, I'm right and you're wrong. But Jesus shows up, and even with the Pharisees or the church leaders who were trying to persecute him, using the very same law that he was fulfilling, they tried to use the law to persecute Jesus because all they saw was the letter of the law. But Jesus shows up and says, wait a second. Here's the spirit of the law. Here's the intent of the law. It's to bring us together, not separate us. It's to build us up, not tear each other down. The spirit of the law is for us to love each other as we love ourselves. Love each other as we love ourselves. What does that mean? How do we do that in our daily lives? What does that look like in our daily lives? Well, let me ask you this. When you do break the law, when you do mess up and you break one of these laws that you've said are so vital to your existence as a Christian, what do? You say, man, I got to stop doing that. I got to fix that. I'm going to do better tomorrow. And we give ourselves this level of grace, this level of forgiveness to say, I can do better tomorrow, right? I can do better next time. It's okay that I broke it this time. I didn't mean to. I'm repenting of it. I'm sorrowful for it. I ask God for forgiveness, and I can move on and take another step and try to do better tomorrow. But when somebody else in our lives does it, we look at them and say, you're horrible. You're not worthy. We don't extend that same grace that we extend to ourselves. We don't extend the same grace that God extends to us. Because let's be honest, none of us can fulfill the law totally, so we depend on God's grace, And we're willing to give ourselves that grace in certain situations. But when it comes to other people, we want to shut them out and we want to separate ourselves from those who don't do as good as us, who don't live up to the letter of the law as well as we do. Why is that? When Jesus clearly comes to show us that we can fulfill the law if we simply love people the way that he loved us and the way that we love ourselves. And it sounds simple. All we have to do is one thing, right? Instead of all 3,000 laws out there. But it's not. It's the hardest thing for us to do is to love other people the way we love ourselves. It's so hard because, let's be honest, sometimes we don't love ourselves the right way. And we don't feel like we deserve to be loved. And so we take all that shame and that disappointment and that hurt, and we project it out to the people around us, hoping that we can show them to be worse than us. We can prove to ourselves that everybody around us or the people that are different than us are worse than us, so therefore it's okay for us to be loved because we're not like that. And we go right back to using the letter of the law to justify. Paul wrote this letter to the Romans because he wanted them to understand it's not harder to live by love. It's easier to live by love. All we have to do is not get caught up and distracted by all of our day-by-day lives that we live. It's just that we have to focus on loving each other. And we have to understand that everything that's written in the law teaches us one thing, how to love, and that everybody deserves love. The church was persecuting Jesus, yet Jesus still loved them. Jesus didn't have any issues with the Roman government. The Roman government didn't have any issues with Jesus because all Jesus was doing was loving people. Where Jesus went, peace went. He wasn't starting uproars and riots. He was just loving people where they were, who they were, how they were. And he was not saying, repent or else, live the right way, live perfectly or else you'll be doomed. No, what he was saying was, look, come and walk this walk with me. Live this life with me. Repent and follow me. Come with me. Let me love you. You love me. We'll figure this out together. We'll figure out how to love. And in doing that, then we'll find fulfillment in the law. Think about that. The Old Testament says repent or, repent or, repent or be destroyed, repent or this town will be destroyed, repent or you'll be cast out, repent or you'll be, I'll let another country come in and take over and they'll what's that word? They'll take you away. It's a fancy word, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not that smart. Conquered. And enslaved. That's the Old Testament, repent or. But then Jesus shows up, who is the embodiment of the spirit of the law, and it's no longer repent or, it's repent and. Repent and. Repent and follow. Repent and come with me. Repent and live with me, and love with me, and learn with me. That's the intent of the law. The intent of Title 32 is not to teach you how to drive perfectly. The intent of Title 32 is just to keep the road safe. The intent of our law, of the Bible, is not to teach us how to be perfect people. The intent of the laws of the Bible is to teach us how to build the kingdom of God here and now by loving each other and doing life together. And just because people think differently or act differently or choose different laws to follow doesn't mean that we don't love them. But it means together, when we love each other, the fullness of the law is completed. So what I want you to hear and what I want you to think about this week is when you're challenged, when you're dealing with somebody that's different than you, whatever that is, when they have a different set of laws that they focus on, instead of separating yourself and letting a wall be built between y'all, focus on the intent of the law and say, how do I love in spite of our differences? How do I love this person in a way that allows us to communicate and build a relationship and not let a wall be built between us? How do I begin to build the kingdom of God here and now in my office, in my workspace, in my home, in my neighborhood, in wherever you find yourself? How do I begin to build the kingdom of God here and now by being willing to love somebody for who they are and how they think and how they're different than me? How do I not let the law be a hindrance? But how do I begin to live by the spirit of the law the way that Jesus showed us how? Amen? Okay, y'all sing a slow song next, a long one. Wait, I don't let them out too early. Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we get to come together and to just dive into your word and worship you and praise you. Lord, we want to be good. We want to fulfill the laws that we have learned about and read about and heard our entire lives. We want to be able to not do the don'ts, and we want to be able to fulfill the do's to the best of our abilities. But Lord, sometimes we can get so focused on trying to be perfect that what happens is we begin to separate ourselves, and we begin to look at other people as less than or different than, and we forget that it's in the fulfillment of the law that we find grace, that we find mercy, where we're taught how to love. We forget that we've all heard that voice that says, repent and walk with me, follow me, live with me, do life with me. Lord, help us to be that voice in the world around us. Help us to be a voice that says, let's do this together. We don't have to be equal. We don't have to be the same. We can just love. And in that, we can fulfill the law. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, let's stand and let's close together.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night.